Well, good morning, girls and boys. Nice to see you all. I'm going to read to you some verses from the book of Exodus. You can turn to the psalm that we will be studying in a few minutes. That's the Psalm 15. But I read this morning in one of my daily readings before I came down here from Exodus chapter 29. And in that Exodus chapter, God sets out the regulations that Moses had to carry out and that Aaron and his sons had to carry out before they could take up the duties of the priesthood. They had to be consecrated, and there were a number of sacrifices that had to be offered and certain rituals that had to be observed. And then when that was done, and the priests were robed in their garments, and the proper sacrifices had been given, the Lord said this, and I'm reading from verse 42 of Exodus chapter 29. "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." These words serve to highlight the special relationship that existed between Israel and God. And although Israel today is far away from the Lord, they are still a very special people to God. And the Bible reveals that he has special plans for them, which one day he will fulfill. And as I read these words, I thought, well, isn't that marvelous? Here we are, about to begin a study in Psalm 15. And I read these words, and they just are so appropriate in our study. They focus our mind upon what it is the psalm is all about. Turn to Psalm 15 now, if you haven't done that. And there we read, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" That's the first verse. As we begin this study of this psalm, which is one of my favorites, I want you to notice how much we owe by way of instruction and guidance to King David. Do you see there that we're told that it's a psalm of David? He's the author, the human author. He was, of course, moved of God, inspired by God to write these words. But he was the channel through whom God gave us these words. And we owe much to David for the instruction that we find here and in many other places, in the Psalms and in other parts of the Bible. Here is instruction in righteousness, because the Psalm's all about, basically, walking with God, knowing him as our friend, our companion, our guide, our instructor. Boys and girls, let me tell you, this is what makes Christianity unique, different from all other religions. We have a living relationship with God in which we can ask him questions and he answers us. I'll tell you a wee story. Came to me in the middle of the night as I was thinking about this. Many years ago, our family moved to London just after the ending of the Second World War. My father was brought over to London along with many men from this part of the world who were involved in the building trade. My father was a carpenter. London was in ruins. You may have seen pictures in the news of what's happening in Ukraine and the bombing that it's suffering and the houses and buildings and cities that are being destroyed by the bombing of the Russians. But let me tell you, that destruction is nothing to what was endured during the Second World War in many parts of the United Kingdom and, of course, across the whole world where the war raged. But London suffered terribly under German bombing. Night after night, hundreds of aircraft flew over, dropped thousands of tons of bombs upon the city, and London was severely damaged. And after the war, there was a great rebuilding had to be done. And my father, being involved in the building trade, he was, I don't know whether he was drafted over or requested to come over or what, but that's where we all ended up, in London. And my old grandfather came over to stay with the family for a short time, and when he was over, of course, my father and mother would have shown him some of the sights of London. And one of the places they took him was the famous waxworks in London, Madame Tussauds. And in that waxwork, there were the wax images of famous people from the world of politics, from history. All sorts of people were there. And they were going around looking at these various wax images. Now, they're famously very good. And my old granddad, who would not have been just too aware of all that was involved in this, came over in a little sort of agitated state to my father and said, "You know, I'm just talking to a policeman there." And I said, "Hello, how you doing?" And he never let on that he heard me. And I tried two or three times, and he never much have looked at me. And my dad had a look. He says, "That's not a policeman. That's a wax dummy you were trying to talk to." I thought of that because, you see, that's how it is with people who have a religion that is not the Christian religion. In all their praying, they're like my poor old grandfather. They're talking to something that can never answer them back. All the false gods of the various religions, they can't answer back because they don't exist. At least my old granddad was talking to something that existed, even though it couldn't answer him. But people are praying to gods that don't even exist, those who are not Christians. But you and I, listen, we talk to the Lord who will answer us back. This psalm begins then with a question. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" Now, before I come to the actual meaning of the words and what it is that's being dealt with here, I just want to emphasize something that I want you to note and to learn and to never forget. First of all, it's our privilege that we can ask questions of the Lord. The chances of you ever having a conversation with the Queen is very unlikely. Some of you may have been there when she visited Northern Ireland and visited the local new hospital in Enniskillen. How many were at that? Well, some of you were. And you were kept well back, weren't you? You weren't allowed to go up and say, "Good morning, Queen, how are you today?" Oh no, that wouldn't have been allowed. Anybody who was in conversation with her had been very carefully picked. But you can talk with the Lord at any time, no matter where you are. And you can talk to him about whatever it is that's troubling you. Here's the psalmist. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" The relationship of the Christian with the Lord is one of friendship and companionship. In the school, there are relationships at different levels. Now, when you come in, and I'd be sitting here watching you coming in at the start of the day, and you spot someone that you know when you go over, and you begin to talk to them. But if it's a teacher you're going to talk to, you usually have to put your hand up or go through some little polite and courteous procedure in order to begin the conversation. Oh, you can gallop over to your friend. You don't need any raising of the hand there. But with the teacher, you've got to show respect. But with the Lord, we can run into his presence and speak to him as a friend. All we must ever be aware of who it is we're speaking to. We can never be disrespectful, but we nevertheless can be free and open because he's our friend. He's our friend, and I want you to understand that. He's the best friend that we can have. We love to sing the hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Well, he is our friend. Is he your friend? Now, by nature, we are not the friends of God. We're born enemies of God. We were born with hearts and minds that were opposed to God. But if we have repented of our sin by God's grace and called upon the name of the Lord, he has wrought within us a great change. And we're now his friends. We're part of his family. Part of his family. He is our friend, boys and girls, and I want you ever to know that. We can go to him with all our troubles, all our worries, all our concerns. I have to say that, sadly, when a Christian is troubled, they don't always go to the Lord. They sort of forget that he is there, and he is our friend, and we can go to him with our troubles. They forget that. And they run to this one, they run to that one, they go yonder and hither, and it's as if the Lord all the time is saying, "Listen, I'm here. Come to me with your problem. No one can help you the way I can. Come to me." We do forget the Lord. But don't you ever forget that he is your friend. I love the wee passage we have in Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 3 of that chapter. It says, "As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age?" The Lord had just spoken of certain things, you see, and they were puzzled by it. But they were able to go to him and say, "Lord, help us here. Explain this to us." Now look at what it was they were asking him to explain. One of the things was, "Tell us, when will be the end of the age?" That's a knowledge that's most wonderful. And yet the Christian can go to the Lord with a question like that and say, "Tell us, what are the signs that will show when the world is, this age is coming to an end?" That's how close is our friendship with the Lord. And that shows what a great volume of answers are to be found in the Lord. It's not a question you'll ever come up with that he can't answer. He's our friend. And so this psalm begins, "Lord, who?" It's a question. I want you to learn that you can ask the Lord questions. That's the privilege of the Christian. Then again, I want you to notice that when it comes to matters of holiness, it is to the Lord we should go. It is to the Lord we should go. I remember some time ago, a unionist leader was trying to justify her attendance at a football match on the Lord's Day, a Gaelic football match on the Lord's Day. She came into some criticism as a result of doing that, because what she did was wrong. But she said, "Well, I went to my bishop and he said it was all right." But we don't go to a bishop for an answer on matters of holiness. We go to the Lord. That's what David did. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" He is the one that gives us absolute answers on all matters of religion. He's the authority, and it's to him we ought to go. Now, as Free Presbyterians, we believe that. We believe that the Lord is the final and ultimate authority in all matters concerning our soul. And we don't take the voice of man, the word of man, as our authority. But we ask the Lord. And the Lord has provided for us all the answers to all the questions that we will ever ask here in the Bible. You will find every query you may ever come up with, you'll find an answer to it in the Bible. If we go to him in prayer, ask him a question, then, prayerfully, we search the Scriptures for an answer. We wait on the Lord. And perhaps I could just say that in my Bible reading this morning, I read, as I say, Exodus 29. But there were verses there that spoke to me about what it is I am now speaking to you about. So the Lord actually answered before I even asked the question. And he gave me some help and guidance as to showing the relevance of this psalm, how that God had said long, long, long ago, before David ever wrote the psalm, that he would dwell amongst his people and they could meet with him in the tabernacle. And the Lord showed me, there you are. This is related very closely to the psalm you're going to be speaking upon with the school. And that's how we can communicate with the Lord and he with us. We can come to him with questions and he'll give us an answer. Listen, we find these words in Acts chapter 17. Paul's evangelizing, and was the case with poor old Paul. He was running into trouble. He had been in Thessalonica, and while there were those there who embraced the gospel and rejoiced in hearing the message, there were many who didn't, and poor Paul had a flea. He had a flea. And he comes to a place called Berea, and he still preached. I always like to note that. When he got chased, he didn't say, "I'm going home to mommy, I've had enough of this." No, he didn't. When he moved out of one place, hunted out by the enemies of the gospel, and the next place he come to, he just started preaching again. He wasn't daunted. Though doubtless he would have suffered fear and the anxieties that are normal to a human being, but by the grace of God, he got the victory over those fears and went on preaching. And then Berea, we read in chapter 17 of Acts, the verse 11, these, that's the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. As these Bereans listened to Paul, they thought, that's wonderful, this is a great message he's proclaiming. This is the good news indeed, but is it God's word? Is it God's word? Is what this man is saying, is it right? These are the questions that rose in their heart and mind. And so they went to the Lord, and they said, "Lord, is this man preaching your message?" And to get an answer from the Lord, they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was preaching was in keeping with what the Bible taught. So there were the questions they were asking, and here is where they got the answers. And it's the same with us. God's Word provides us with the answers. In the Old Testament, you will find God speaking directly many, many times with his people. You'll find prophets, you'll find David, oftentimes speaking with the Lord and questioning the Lord, and the Lord speaking directly to him, giving him an answer. But those days are past, in that the Bible now contains all the answers we will ever require. The canon of Scripture is complete, as we say, the canon being the combination of all the books. In the days of David, David didn't have access to all the books of the Bible that we can turn to. And so God answered him directly. And it was like that with other prophets and servants of God. But now, God has, as it were, bound up all the answers in one book. And you and I, when we have a question, we'll find the answer in the Bible. That's why we have to honour the Bible. It is God's truth. It's God's truth. So, in all matters of religion and holiness, it's to the Lord we go, and not to any man. Not to any man. One other thing I want to say, and that is this. I feel I should emphasize with you that the Lord will answer all sincere questions we bring to him. Every sincere question he'll answer. Now, there were many times the Lord didn't answer men, because they came with deceitful hearts. They came trying to trip him up, and the Lord didn't answer them. The Gospel of John, the chapter 19, The Lord Jesus is on trial before his enemies. And we read these words concerning Pilate. He went again into the judgment hall, and Pilate saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Why did he not answer him? Well, first and foremost, Pilate wasn't asking as an earnest inquirer after truth. And secondly, the Lord had already on many, many, many occasions explained who he was, where he had come from, and why he had come. And you know, if you don't hear the Lord when he answers you, or reject what it is he says to you in response to a question, and you come back at him again with the same old question, he will say to you, I've already answered that, and I'm not going to answer it again. That's basically what you find in the scriptures. But if you come to him with a sincere question, with an anxious heart, with a desire to know from him the truth, he will always answer you. And you find in the Gospels, where you have the account of the Savior meeting and mingling with ordinary men and women, you find the Savior answering wonderful questions, simple questions. And he was ever most ready to answer such questions. Psalm 118 in verse 5 says, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me, and set me in a large place. In other words, the psalmist said, there was a time when I was just pressed in by trouble and affliction and worry and concern, and I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he removed that which was squeezing me, and he set me in a large place. He drove back and removed from me all the anxieties that were squeezing me. That's what the thought is there. And so it will be with all who call upon the Lord. He'll answer you. And if you've been squeezed by anxieties and worries and concerns, he'll remove them from you and give you plenty of room, as it were. Here's another verse. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's Jeremiah chapter 33 and the verse 3. You'll remember that reference, Jeremiah 3:3:3. In our library we have reference books, and they contain a lot of answers to an awful lot of questions. But I guarantee you will come up with questions that those books won't give you an answer to. But you'll never come up with a question that the Lord won't answer. And he will answer most wonderfully. Call upon me, he says, and I will answer thee. That's an assurance. And then he tells how he will answer. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Take those words to heart, boys and girls. Take those words to heart. Those who call on the Lord will be led by him to a knowledge of things far outside of the experience of men in this old world. There lies ahead of every Christian who has sought the Lord a glorious heaven. And it's more wonderful than we can ever imagine. And it awaits those who are leaning upon, holding friendship with, trusting in the Lord Jesus. Does that describe your relationship with him? Are you his friend today, and is he your friend today? I trust he is. If he's not, he's more than ready to become your friend. Indeed, he has spoken to you many times, called you many times, offering you his friendship. Oh, that you would obey his voice if you haven't done so. Let's bow in prayer. Let us commit our ways to the Lord today. Father in heaven, help the boys and girls to understand the wonderful truth that we can come to thee, Lord, with our burdens and distresses. Oh, we thank thee that thou art the one who does answer our questions. Teach them. Teach them here today, Lord, this truth. Bless our school. We have burdens and distresses here, Lord. We need answers to them. Oh, God, give us hearts that willingly submit to what it is God says in answer to our questions. guide our school, undertake for it. Remember those who are absent today. We trust they'll be back very soon, Lord. And, O God, those throughout the world who are in trouble, oh, that they would turn to the Lord. Remember the poor folk of Ukraine. God, help them. Help them in their trouble to seek the Lord. Remember the men as they come back from Uganda. Now they already have begun their journey. Take care of them, Lord, in the long flights that they have to take. Bring them home safe to their families. So bless us all and bless the school today. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.